Okay, so we got that done, yeah.
No, I have my explanations.
Thank you. Freedom bound. Freedom bound. Thank you, Lord. We're freedom bound. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Nith Valley, and Happy New Year to everyone. At the beginning of Advent, we were invited to write on a little piece of paper our bad habits, our personal issues, our bad attitudes that held us back from inclusion. We made these chains over here with those papers. Have we reached our true freedom from these issues that bind us? True freedom occurs only in the heart when it is changed and made new. As we listen to the time of anticipation, listen to your heart. The call to worship this morning is on the back of your bulletin. I will be the leader and you will be the people. Arise, shine, your light has come. God's glory has risen upon us. Even if darkness should cover the earth, deep darkness cover the people. Nothing can hide God's glorious light. Let us look to God and be radiant. Let us reflect the brightness of this dawning. Let us pray. O God, the source of all insight, whose coming was revealed to the nations, not among men of power, but on a woman's lap, give us grace to see you where you may be found. Like the Magi of old, we bring our gifts to you. We offer what gifts we have to you in their variety, that they may be used in your service. Amen. We'll have a hymn now, I believe.
Thank you.
Would the children like to come forward for a story with Doris there?
Good morning, everybody. Did everybody have a great Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah? Was everything under the tree that you wanted? That you asked for?
No?
No? Well, maybe next time. So anybody have these hanging on their Christmas tree?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you hang those on your Christmas tree? Yeah. And the candy cane is kind of a special thing, and it resembles a lot of different things. So we're going to talk about, we have a poem about the candy cane and what it all resembles. Okay, so look at the candy cane and what do you see? Stripes that are red, like the blood shed for me. White for the Savior, who's sinless and pure. Many of you go like this. What is that? J is for Jesus, my Lord, that's for sure. Turn it around, and a staff you will see. Jesus, my shepherd, was born for me. So the shepherds have a staff, right? Hi, is that a candy cane? Do you like the candy cane? Oh, you want to eat it? Okay, she can have it. She can have it. So I have a poem for all of yous. Do you want to help pass out the poem? She can have it. You want to start passing everybody? We want to come and get a poem. And on this poem, we'll have a candy cane on it. You want one for your brother? Can you go around the back there, Maddie, and pass some over there? You go over there. Do you want one of these? Here. Well, she'll eat it. She may have the candy cane, really. She may. Does everybody have one? That little boy over there doesn't have one. And the little girl? Okay, everybody got one? Did you want one, Thomas? You give Thomas one over there. Okay, you can take those back, and you can have your mom and dad read it again. Okay, thank you.
A couple of years ago, I think we did what we're going to try right now. If you would turn in your hymnals to 215, what child is this? I have Terry and Lois and Susan and Lori are going to do Helpless and Hungry from the Green, Sing the Story, I believe it is. But they will only do that. So the plan is, Bonnie will play the intro, the whole What Child Is This first. We will sing with the guitar verse 1 of What Child Is This. They will sing verse 1 of Helpless and Hungry. We will sing verse 2. You will sing verse 2 of What Child Is This? They will sing verse 2 of Helpless and Hungry. Together we will sing with the congregation singing the third verse of What Child Is This? While they also sing Helpless and Hungry. So we'll have the two pieces together. It works and it's not a problem. I invite you to turn to 250.
As long as we're in the same key.
While she plays, you can sort of...
This is Christ revealed to the world.
Yes, Matthew and I kind of lost it back there. The scripture this morning is Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi came from the east, came to Jerusalem, and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We'll now hear from Matthew.
Happy New Year's to all as we worship this morning in the year of our Lord 2016. A new year filled with possibilities and potential. This is the last Sunday in our Advent and Christmas worship series entitled Freedom Bound. We have confessed this season during our waiting for Christ's birth that Advent's liberating love comes for all of us. God longs to set us all free. The weeks of December were full of active waiting for us as we baked, decorated, made milk bag mats, folded cranes, participated in Christmas parades, served at the hostel, practiced our singing, gave our year-end donations, volunteered at Operation Christmas Child. Our active waiting was mindful of suffering in our world and in our own lives, and it was hope-filled. December was a time set aside for spiritual renewal, a time to develop a more robust and resilient faith as we prepared for Christ's birth, celebrated Christ's birth, and now we contemplate the impact of Christ's birth as we enter the new year. What is the impact of Christ's birth? Once the tree lights and the tinsel are packed up, does Christ's birth really matter to us, our family, our church, our community? In our familiar scripture this morning, we hear of wise men who are traveling from the east following a star which leads them to Jesus. As we contemplate the meaning of Christ's birth and the freedom we have claimed this Advent season, a few ideas resonated with me in this story. I'm going to see if this new, it worked, perfect. We'll see the first two verses of the scripture that has been read beside me. This story is rich in traditional biblical symbolism. To come from the east, to follow a star, all give witness to the importance of Jesus' birth. To come from the East or sons of the East indicates to the biblically literate listeners that these were people who had a deep sense of truth and goodness. Conversely, they had a good handle on that which was false and evil. I am struck by the simple call for us to be such wise people who are discerning of what is true and good, what is evil and false. In addition, as we discern the stars around us to release the chains that bind us, we are challenged to have the courage to boldly follow the Christ star, to claim that which is good and to let go of that which is not. Second, the wise men realized that this Christ child was a king. They came to pay homage, show their respect and loyalty to this king above all other kings. They are the first to give witness to Jesus as king, who is ushering in a new kingdom, a kingdom with different norms and customs of how to live in the world. This will not necessarily be in conflict with earthly rulers, but it might be. And it is clear that Herod felt the potential impact of this king. He called scholars together to better understand what the sons of the East were talking about. He felt threatened. Jesus' birth is exciting and challenging to all of us, especially those of us who enjoy privilege, comfort, and power. We are called to pay homage, knowing that this will challenge us to rethink who we are and how we live. The story goes that after meeting Herod, they traveled on and they followed the star, and eventually they came to the place where Jesus lay. And as the star stopped over that place, they were filled with joy. And they entered in, they bowed down, and they worshiped Jesus, and they offered to him gifts of frankincense, myrrh, and gold. A clear expression right in the beginning of Jesus' life, who he will become. God with us, our leader and our king. These were gifts fit for a king. This worship, this freedom in Christ will challenge us, will change us, will call us to offer gifts which might at times seem foolish to us. But are we willing to worship and bring our gifts to this king? Do we believe that God's healing and hope is embodied in Jesus, this king? Do we believe that God's healing and hope will flow through us into the world? Are we willing to bring our gifts? Do we believe that God's healing and hope is embodied in Jesus? Do we believe that God's healing and hope has the potential to flow through us out into the world? Finally, in this text, I see that the wise men went home a different way than they had come. The story goes that after being warned in a dream, they did not go back to Herod. They did not trust that Herod actually wanted to pay homage to Jesus as he had stated. It seems clear that they recognized that Jesus' presence was going to be a threat to those in power within the church and within Rome. That in Jesus, in welcoming freedom, change is required, and this is always difficult, and some will not want it. They will avoid it, or they will actively block it. Not all will appreciate the good news as good news. So the wise men returned home a different way, changing their plans according to God's leading, and the beauty and the tranquility of the Christmas story is smashed as we read in the following verses that King Herod was livid that he was tricked, and he ordered all the boys under 2 to be killed. The good news matters. It impacts us, comforting and challenging us. Not all will respond faithfully to this good news, and this can have terribly devastating results for us. It did then, and it still does in 2016, and yet we are called to celebrate and follow the Christ child into this new year. As we walk in freedom this Christmas season, the resource for this season challenges us today, saying that paying homage to the Christ child calls us to walk on the path of inclusion. So freedom bound, the path of inclusion is the tagline for this Sunday's worship. This commitment is inspired by the 12 verses of Ephesians chapter 3. And these verses go, "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, for surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God and its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and in confidence through faith in him. This is a core early church story. Paul, a strict Jew who had been persecuting the early church after Damascus Road encounter with the light of Christ, becomes a key witness to the emerging church, to the detriment of his own safety and comfort. Following the Christ child disrupts his life as he knew it. It pushed him to change and to expand the welcome of God's love beyond what he had imagined. He is writing from prison, and he is not backing down, but giving witness to what has become known as truth intellectually, and more deeply, truth within the core of his being. God's love is extended to all, Jew and Gentile alike. In Christ, all have access to God's love. God draws all in, inviting worship, calling us to offer our gifts, freeing us from that which binds us, and challenging us to walk faithfully forward on the path of inclusion. The writers of this year's resource suggest that this text opens the opportunity for us to explore how the light that Jesus brings into the world challenges us and illuminates all the distinctions between us that we elevate as ultimate goods. Just like in the early church, each of us has essential elements of faith and practice that we consider to be non-negotiable. The standards of faith for one group may differ considerably from another, and that is where the disagreements and acrimony begin. It is hard to live with, talk with, and worship with those we feel have wrong interpretations. Yet God's Spirit calls us to not turn away from each other, but to be patient in love. We read in 1 Corinthians 13, "For on this side of heaven, each person's understanding of God's truth is incomplete and partial." We read later in the same section. If the light of Christ has the power to draw wise men from afar and overcome barriers of former religious outcasts, what power does it still have to bring new freedom into our church and the world today? If the light of Christ has the power to draw wise men from afar and overcome barriers of former religious outcasts, what power does it still have to bring new freedom into our church, our world today? Theologically, I believe the path of inclusion is the way of the Christ child, of Paul, of the early church, and us today. In practice, I find this path very exciting, disruptive, and confusing. I, as a Christian, as a pastor, we as the church, as Nith Valley, are challenged by the light of Christ to live differently this year on the path of inclusion. Sadly, walking this way causes conflict as we continue to hold what seems to be the tension of faithful living and inclusive welcome. It troubles me that who is in and who is out divides us. We quickly label one group as biblically faithful and the other as not. We know this within our families and friendship circles as people have left this church, or as we have left a church seeking something different. We see it right here on Bean Road, one concession apart, as two Mennonite churches worship Sunday after Sunday, separate from each other, understanding the call of Jesus, the path of inclusiveness, differently. We see this so clearly right now in the discussion in regards to homosexuality. Lines are drawn, accusations are made on both sides. I know so many who seek to be biblically faithful and yet are so different in their views. Lancaster Conference has left Mennonite Church USA, a new network there called, in brackets I say conference, named Ivana, is emerging, and they are meeting at Mapleview in a few weeks, seeking new churches from this area to join them, largely over this issue. This saddens me. Friends and family are leaving the church because we are unfaithful. And depending on who you speak to, it's we are unfaithful because we are welcoming. And on the other hand, family and friends are leaving because they're saying we are not clearly welcoming enough. It is so hard to follow the path of Christ. It changes, challenges us, even as it comforts and fills us. And yet, like the wise men, we are called to follow the star, to bring our gifts, to worship Christ, and to live differently because of Christ. Are we willing to follow the Christ child in 2016, living to walk and follow into the tensions and the uncertainties of what it means to follow faithfully? What does it mean for us to follow the Christ child in 2016 are the questions before us this morning. I invite you now to watch a video, and it's simply called Living Differently. And it's not directly tied into what I just spoke about. At one level, it goes into very simple things about what we might eat or eating less, but it can also move us to reflect on what we might do differently on some very significant issues within our lives. So lead it to get you to start to enter into that thinking of how we might live differently individually, corporately, this coming year.
This year will be different.
This year will be different.
This year will be different.
This year, I need to eat less. You know what? I do solemnly swear that this year I will lose 10 pounds. Or at least 5.
5 is the magic number. That's how many times I want to visit my grandmother this year, which would be 5 more than last year.
Learn to wait. I always want things instantly. I need patience. Now! This year, I'll
be nicer to my parents. What, Mom? Get off my back. I just need peace in my life. I'm just so nervous all the time. I'm twitching. 3 kids. I'm a twitcher. I'm twitching. I twitch. I just can't seem to get
my pits to stop sweating. Can you see this? Look, when did I become the human leak? I mean, I know I've got some stress about my future and everything, but why can't I just be like everyone else and you conceal it?
Okay, I'll just have to fake it till I make it. And I'll
be better than I've ever been in my entire life.
If I'm going to make this year count, I have to do some things differently. It's toupee time.
Make some goals this year. Just 3, not 10.
Stop judging people who aren't like me.
Stop snapping at my kids.
Dream!
Character over image.
Learn that I'm loved, but not entitled.
God, did you forget about me? I'm here. Just show me what to do.
Give me the strength to change. What am I saying? I don't even know if I want to change, God. I'm comfortable. I have a good life. I know. You want the best for me. So why don't I want the best for me?
Starting tomorrow, using my gifts and talents, I'm going to live my life differently. God's way.
I'm tired of keeping this great gift.
A secret. Can I tell you a secret? I feel like I'm separated from something. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But whatever I need, it's bigger than this world can
offer. I offer my life, God. That's something much more than what I can see. So please, God, would you just take this little bit of faith that I have?
I just can't wait another year.
This year will be different.
Will this year be different? Or will we simply slip back into familiar routines of busyness, fear, and doubt that we really matter, and more deeply that God really matters? Throughout this season we have in our worship, pray that the chains which bind us will be removed, and thus we will be free to follow Jesus on the path of justice, mercy, trust, love, service, and inclusion. Symbolically, these chains have been removed from the path we walk and placed on the cross each Sunday, as it is through Jesus which we experience true freedom. On the second Sunday of Advent, we took time to write on slips of paper, I think Judy mentioned that earlier this morning, those things that bind us. These papers were added to the paper chain that was already on the path that is now on the cross. On December 10th, I took time to read over and pray over the things that were named, those things that bind us. This morning, as an expression of freedom in Christ, I challenge each of you, and I believe you have slips of paper, to write on slips of paper this morning at least one way. Remember, not 10, but 1, 2, or 3 ways to name those commitments that you want to make so that this year will be different. What is God calling you to do differently in how you treat yourself, your family, your neighbor, the stranger? What gift are you being called to offer to others, to the church, to the Christ child, as we walk on the path of inclusion? These slips of paper will be collected during the offering, and likely before I do the prayer of the church, I will add them to this path as a symbol that we are walking in freedom. We're walking in freedom with commitments to live differently into this new year of 2016. So I invite you to take a moment or two to do that. And Bonnie can play their theme song while you're doing that. And if you don't have a slip of paper, you could put your hand up. One of the ushers or children at the back could bring them to you if you need a slip of paper.
Thank you.
As you can see up here, we're going to do the lighting of the Epiphany candle. So I would like this side of the congregation to be number one and this side number two as we repeat these. Together, we light the Epiphany candle. It's not just for us. The mystery of God is revealed for all people. On this Sunday, we celebrate that justice is stronger than wrong, that God will tumble all dividing walls and bring great things from small beginnings. By lighting this candle, we ask God to enlighten our minds and hearts and cast away the shadows of exclusion and discrimination. As we light this final candle of the Advent and Christmas season, we celebrate the many ways that God's light is embodied in the church and in the world in its rich variety. Shall we pray together? Liberating God, set us free. As we walk this road of freedom, give us more love, more hope, more peace, and more joy. Amen. At this time, could the ushers please come forward to collect the offering? Pardon to put there. Oh, yes, and put your little piece of paper in the offering, too. Lord, we release all things from the past year that have caused any negative attachments. Help us to embrace new changes, new lessons, new refugees, and new adventures. With this new year, we welcome new opportunities to grow emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Today, we cheerfully and gladly give with joy our monetary gifts. Amen. If anybody has any announcements now, would they please come forward?
Morning. As you could see in the bulletin this morning, there was no update on the givings for the year. That was just a matter of, I had a very busy week, and I got the money into the bank on Thursday. We had a very good month. I put over $37,000 in the bank on December 31st. That also included a $10,000 bequest from a member, which brings up my first, request. Is that money was designated for the capital fund, and we have about, about $60,000 in the capital fund, and that money has been sitting there for a while, and I think at council this week we are going to do a bit of brainstorming and ask if there are some projects that people out there sort of have a on their wish list. This money should probably be spent, and we should be actively trying to spend it on some projects that are sort of people's on their wish list. So if you have any ideas of what we should be thinking about, where to spend that money, what we need to do around the church here, please let one of the people on the Property and Finance Committee know, or myself or Wayne Eckstein. And I think Jesse. Secondly, the shortfall right now at the end of December is about $20,000. We still have one more month to go, so our fiscal year is the end of January. So keep that in mind. Another important thing is the budget for next year. And the increase that every year we have 2-4% increase. And just a reminder to the people who do direct deposits that if they could maybe think about adjusting their direct deposits to adjust for inflation. Because I think that's one of the biggest things about direct deposits. It's really nice, it's easy, and you forget about it and just keeps on going the same amount for forever. So if we could ask about maybe adjusting for inflation there, that would be appreciated. The refugee fund, that is doing very well. We have sent off the first check to the to Mannheim. They're administering the funds. And so $5,000 has already gone to them. I think we have about another $3,000 in there. So thank you very much for that. And the retreat fund is now closed. I think the shortfall in designated givings there was a little over $1,000. That'll just be sort of get rolled into the budget. It's being allocated to three or four other committees, and so that'll be reflected in the statements for the year ended January 31st. So I think that's it. Matthew, we had spoken. That covers everything, right? Okay, I didn't forget anything. So thank you very much.
Our next fellowship event is on Sunday, January 24th. We're going to do something that we haven't done in a few years, but we're going to bring it back, and that's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. So I believe there's sign-up sheets on the bulletin board for you to sign up, either as a guest or a host, whichever you prefer. And it's going to be Sunday, January 24th, and you can also indicate whether you would like it to be for noon or for supper. And we're doing that especially for some of the young families that one or the other might be a challenge for them. So the bulletin board is up there. You have three Sundays to sign up because on the 18th we'll actually be putting things together and determining who's going where. So please sign up on the bulletin board. Thanks.
Invite, if you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with the congregation, to do so at this
this moment. Andy mentioned the refugee fund. I don't really have updates specifically on that. Arlene's maybe putting hand up. Maybe she does. Was that to indicate that you maybe do? Yeah. Where's the mic?
Today's Heather Cressman's birthday, so I hope we could. She's turning 21, so I hope we could sing Happy Birthday.
Well, let's do that first.
And today is Addie's birthday, and she's turning. How old?
Three.
Okay, well, we got to sing for two. I'm not going to start the singing, though.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Heather Addie. Happy birthday to you.
An update I received, I guess, Thursday was we thought we were all done with the forms, and then Peggy found one more that we'd missed. And so I got an email on Thursday, filled it out, that everything has been sent to CIC, which I believe is Canadian Immigration
Services.
Yeah. So there will be a further form, the settlement plan. We need to get in shortly, but now it's it. Our paperwork is all at immigration.
Many of you will recall that I had had a prayer request prior to Christmas, or Christmas and New Year services, that the PCR ministry team is working along with Jamie Gerber, and we're in the process of developing the process steps that we'll be using for our congregational pastoral review that will be coming up in the spring. And so I again just ask that we be mindful of that and continue to hold up that process in prayer, that it can be a positive and very positive and growth and prayerful process.
Let us take time to pray together. Almighty God, we worship you, the one who has come into this world as a weak and vulnerable infant. Prepare us to receive you and be transformed by you in our country, in our homes, and in our hearts this 2016. As we enter this new year, we pray for all those who are overcome with weakness, insecurity, and hopelessness. Grant them the strength to seek help. Grant others the strength and patience to be the incarnate love of God to those in their times of distress. This is the season to remember God who came to us, and that we are to come and be present to each other. We pray for all refugees. We pray for those fleeing their homes due to warfare and strife. We pray for refugees from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Eritrea, Myanmar. We pray for mothers and children, for parents and step-parents. We pray for all those traveling back home, returning to school and work. For some, Christmas was joyful, and for others, home was not a place of welcome and love. We pray for those who suffer abuse, that they may find a place of safety. We pray for those who are homeless in our communities, that they may find shelter. And we give you thanks for all those who work to care for those in any need or trouble. We give you thanks for birthday celebrations, for milestones, for the coming of a new year, for Heather and for Addie, and for all of us as we transition into 2016, that we can leave behind those things that trouble and move into the hope and the anticipation of what lies ahead. We pray for our congregation and for Hendrik and I as pastors, as we move into a time of review, that it may be a good, honest time of conversation and discussion and learning that continues to challenge and encourage us for further growth and faithfulness in understanding who you are and who you call us to be as pastors, as a congregation. Almighty God, we thank you for coming into this world in the Christ child. We pray that we may receive you both in triumph and in peace, and that we may serve you all of our days. Amen.
I invite you to turn to number 30 in the Sing the Story, the purple book. I recognize this tune, but I think of it as in Rise Up, O Men of God, rather than Arise, Your Light Has Come. So those my age or older, not many here older, might recognize the tune from that. I'm going to ask Bonnie to play it through once, so we know it. And then for the verse one, I would invite you all in the congregation to sing the melody, because Laurie and Susan are going to sing the descant. And there's a small group here, so perhaps everybody in unison would be, I don't know, good. Would you stand, please?
God, let your light shine. The light of Christ is in you and among you, guiding you and blessing you, now and always. Amen.